Well, before we get into today's show, I just wanted to give a little disclaimer. Jamie has been in the middle of, she's home now, but she's been in the middle of storms all night. I mean, it hasn't quit. And they've had some bad ones. Texas, I know, got hit really hard with hail and tornadoes and stuff. So she, her computer got zapped by lightning, we think, and is dead. Like, Chad worked on it, and I saw a picture of him sitting there, and it basically had the blue screen of death. So she's going to be on her phone today, which is not the best connection. There was a little bit of a delay, and she cuts out here and there, but I knew you'd all want to hear about her adventures over the weekend. So we did the show anyway, and I edited it, so it's pretty good. It's listenable. You'll get through it. You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, April 30th, episode 3683. And don't worry, Jamie is here. She's right there. She's right there.
Hello.
We've had all kinds of tech issues this morning, so Jamie is actually doing the show this morning from her phone. And her husband is trying to fix the computer that we think got struck by lightning.
That is what we think. And I am telling you that my dear sweet husband is incredibly frustrated with a company called Microsoft.
Okay. So the next one's going to be an Apple that you really won't know how to use.
That's when I have to call you for help.
Yeah, not me. Don't call me for Apple help. That won't work. So today we do have a fun show planned for you. Jamie's going to tell us all about her visit to the Kentucky 3-Day and all the things she did there. She also sat down with Michael Blowen of Old Friends for a fascinating chat. By the way, that was probably the best interview I've ever heard of him. So good job. Good job on that.
Really?
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. I got to sit down with John and to play that in the post show, but I got to sit down. It was such a treat. We're standing in the barn and I look up and there's Michael Blowen smooching Silver Charm. And I was like, okay, this is good.
Well, he was terrific. And it's, you know, that was a busy weekend for them. So both of them sat down with you. And you're talking about John Nicholson, who's the current director of Old Friends. And we'll hear that separate interview in the post show today. We also have Michelle DeBoer on, and she's going to talk about the horse food pyramid. And then we're going to do a very abbreviated version of Weird News because of Jamie's current tech situation. So we'll be doing a very abbreviated version of that. One quick thing before we get started, totally not related to horses, but related to badass women. Remember last year was our year of badass women. Well, a woman just set the dragster speed record, a world record by Brittany Force. She makes the fastest pass ever on a top fuel dragster at, get this, 341 miles an hour.
That's no thanks.
She broke her previous record, which she set in 2022 at 338 miles an hour. So she almost put 10 miles an hour on that. And she is a badass woman to be doing that at all. Jennifer just said she was nuts. So
yeah, that too.
Kind of with her on that one. All right, let's do some daily whinnies. Well, we do have a couple of auditor birthdays, Kendra Gale and Alicia Kay. Happy birthday to both of you. Also, new auditor, Jane. I don't have a last name, didn't come through. So, Jane, we're glad you're here. You can go to the auditor room, find it on Facebook. Just search for HRN Auditors. We've had a rash of people, and I don't know if they listen to the show or not, but we've had a rash of people trying to get into the auditor room that have not gone to Patreon and signed up first. So you need to do that first. We need you to be a paid member of the auditor group in order to get into the room. It just, that's the way it's been. And it's a very precious room, so we try to keep it that way as well. But you can go to Horses in the Morning or horseradionetwork.com and go down to the auditor banner to sign up. And then you can join the auditor room.
Well, I've got some really exciting news. I mean, you know, when I moved to Oklahoma, all sorts of fun things happen. And poor Anna has been here, you know, for most of the year. And she's seen things like tornadoes and fires and ice and snow. And I would like to say congratulations to Oklahoma, because this is officially the wettest April in history. Never happens, Glenn.
When I go, usually you guys are a dust bowl. When I went to bed last night, I always check the country's radar, and I saw, oh, Jamie's getting very wet and very stormy. And I woke up this morning, you were still very wet and very stormy.
Yes, it has been. And apparently it did this the entire time I was in Kentucky. So, I mean, it's just unbelievable the amount of water that has come from the sky. Just like, but I was feeding this morning because, of course, my horses are all in and they're not happy about it. And I'm feeding, and then buckets of water are pouring as I walk to my car. And then I have to get in my car and I have a giant rain slicker on with my mud boots. And so then I climb into my car and the rain slicker dumps all of the water onto the driver's seat. Just like, oh my God, it's like mud and water everywhere. Chad got in my car to take Lucas to school, and he's like, did you leave your window down? I was like, no, I just sat in the car. That was it.
I feel for you guys. You just are getting hammered this year. You really are. Well, I also wanted to thank, I'm going to do part of your daily Winnie for you, okay? I wanted to thank everybody who came out to your meetup in Kentucky.
Oh my gosh, it was so fun and so amazing. And there was a lot of people that actually had show jumping tickets. So they got there a little early and were getting their food delivered when I got there at 6. And everybody was just so cool and so awesome. And it's so nice to meet everybody and kind of see how their trip to Kentucky is going and where they live in the world. And it was really, really fun. And I want to thank everybody for coming out. It was just awesome. And the food was great, of course.
All right. Tell us about your time there. Everybody's waiting to hear.
I realized that kind of this trip wasn't just about the Kentucky 3-day. You know, especially with Anna here, she has really, really gotten into the horse racing. And I have some faves, obviously. So we kind of worked out that we kind of made the trip half racehorse, half Kentucky 3-day. So we flew in on Wednesday, and I'm not going to go through every detail, but we basically went to Keeneland that day and watched the races, because Keeneland closes on Friday. The last day is Friday, but Friday's a madhouse. So we were like, it won't be so bad Wednesday. It was a madhouse. It was crazy. But it was so much fun. And I actually won some money at Keeneland, which is probably my first time ever in history. So that was cool. And then, of course, all of us girls had to go to the gift shop, which is just always a good time.
What did she think? She's been to your, you know, not so fancy track there in Oklahoma. What did she think about the nicest track in the country?
I mean, there's no words. It's so beautiful and so classy. And the level of horses that compete at Keeneland versus, you know, Remington, because Keeneland is where the good ones go, you know?
Right.
So the really, really fast ones. So really, really fun to watch that and just to kind of be a part of that. But it gets even better later. But I will tell you that we decided also on Friday to kind of make it a day of going to visit racehorses. On Thursday, we went to the horse park for some dressage and mainly shopped. But then Friday, we went to, like, let's just drive around and see some racehorses. So that Friday morning, we went to the works at Keeneland, which is when you go at like 7 a.m. Keeneland is open to the public. I don't know if a lot of people know that. And you can go right up to the track and watch the horses working in the morning. So we did that and saw them, and it was really, it's just a fun experience. And what was really funny was somebody came off their horse and I got the most beautiful picture. We can use it as show notes of a horse running riderless down the home stretch, right in front of the Keeneland sign. So great. And then we got to watch the outriders like go catch it and just display their skills. It was pretty cool. And then we made an appointment to go to Old Friends at 4 o'clock. And I went online to a couple days before to Horse Country Tours, which is that's kind of how you get all the tickets to go see the tour when it's Keeneland week, Derby week, Kentucky 3-day week. You know, you can't. I actually went on to, I've been trying to go see the American Pharoah forever, like since he retired to Coolmore. Every year, 5 years in a row, I've been trying to get tickets to go. And this time, I got put on the waiting list, Glenn. The waiting list. And I was like, oh my God, I'm on the waiting list. So they said they would email or call or something to let me know if I got off the waiting list. Well, it was pouring buckets of rain in Kentucky as well on Friday. So I checked my email and text and calls and just stared at my phone for like 2 days. Didn't get a call. So I just decided to go. I was like, I think we should just show up. And there's obviously going to be some people that don't show up because buckets of rain, and their tour is rain or shine. So I just drove up to the Coolmore gates and I hit the buzzer, beep, and they're like, hello. Like, I'm here for the 2:30 tour. And she was like, okay, come on in. And they opened the gates to Coolmore, which I don't know if you guys know, but they Coolmore started in Ireland and they have made it. When those gates open up, it was like, oh, angels singing, because they designed the whole thing to look like Ireland. There's stone walls and there's beautiful trees. And it's like just this magical thing where you drive down this like this road covered with trees and the stone walls. And there's this beautiful, the office looks like a castle. So we go to the office. And I'm like, you guys, I don't know what's going to happen. And there's like seven of us. There's a lot of us. I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. And then this car pulls up right next to us. And you're not going to believe who got out of the car. Another auditor. I was like, she was like, are you Jamie? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know why. I was like, am I in trouble? I'm not supposed to be here. So we go into the office and they're walking around, you know, they're like, okay, who has your tickets? Like, what are the tickets under? And people are given their name and then they go to the next person and who are your tickets with? And then they give the name and then they go to the next, then they come to me and they're like, hey, what is your name? And she's checking the list. And I was like, I don't have any tickets. I was on the waiting list and nobody called and I figured what they were. And then Glenn, I started crying. I was like, I just really want to come see American Sparrow. I love him so much. And I'm not on the list. I'm on the waiting list and nobody called. And I thought, with all the rain, maybe someone's going to come. And you know what happened? This lady from across the room goes, we have the rest of our groups not showing up. You have got to be kidding me. And she was like, today's your lucky day. You get to come on the tour. I was like, then I just cried harder because I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to see American Sparrow. It was like the most amazing magical moment ever. And so she's like, right this way. And we walk out to the barn and then I saw American Sparrow and I cried even harder. And then one of my friends took a picture of me. And I'm like, you are not putting that red eye stained photo of me up on the internet. It is not happening. But it was magical. And you know, when you see them handling stallions, they put chains of, you know, lip chains or chains over their nose or anything. They clipped on the halter and just let him out of the stall. He is the gentlest kind. And the guy who handled him, he's like, yeah, he's just like super nice. And he just like walked around, paraded out there. Like, he loves pictures. He loves people. He loves fans. He walks, he's no problem. And they take this little baby out and just walk him around 10 feet from us. Of course, they wouldn't let me smooch him on the nose, which I thought I was pushing my luck if I asked to do that. So, but it was awesome. And then we got to, and tis the law. And I mean, maximum security. I was like, I went up to maximum security and I was like, listen, friend, I lost a lot of money on you. Okay. Nice to meet you, but you hurt my bank account. But anyway, it was awesome. And it was just so cool to see that. And the sweet lady who was running the tour, she, bless her heart, she was so nice. And she retired to do that job. So she was just loves her life there. And it was really fun. And it shows, and all the employees were very happy and nice people, and the horses are happy. And it looks like you're like, I mean, it's probably the most beautiful farm I've seen. It was just unbelievable. And then we got to go to old friends after that. I mean, just energy was high. I was so excited. And then we get there and I got to sit down and talk to Michael Blowen, the mastermind behind old friends. So let's take a listen.
Well, it's a big thrill right now to be sitting next to the founder and the brainchild behind Old Friends, Michael Blowen. And you've been on our show before, and thank you so much for taking some time.
Oh, this is my pleasure. I love talking about old friends and about horse racing and just about everything about it.
Well, that's what we're going to pick your brain about, because first question, we're hanging out outside and Game On Dude walks up. And I was trying to remember, where did he go between his racing career and coming here?
He came almost directly here.
Did he?
Yeah, because he raced for a long time.
Yeah.
And fortunately, we were far enough along in our history and in our development of the farm and everything that Bob Baffert and Joe Torre and Bernie Schappa and Mr. Landy and everybody, we were far enough along that they would trust us with this horse.
Well, and kudos on getting one of my favorite horses here. Big Brown is, you know, we were talking in the car on the way over here, is like, celebrities don't impress human people, but these horses, I mean, you just get around them, and that's the impressive celebrity.
Yes. Well, I covered the movies for the Boston Globe for a long time, and I knew a lot of movie stars, a lot. And with few exceptions, I didn't get that excited about meeting a lot of movie stars. But I'm totally starstruck by these horses. And that's really the genesis of this place. It's based on the idea that, like John was doing over at the horse park with the Hall of Champions, I said, well, if you did that on a larger scale, mm-hmm. what would it be like? Every idea I've ever had here is stolen.
If you're stealing from me, you're stealing twice.
There you go. That's exactly right. No, it was, look, the name of it's Old Friends. Well, if you go back, Barbara Livingston, the multiple Eclipse Award-winning photographer, did a marvelous book, must be 30 years ago now, maybe longer, called Old Friends, Visits with My Favorite Thoroughbreds. And in this beautiful book, where she also displays a frighteningly creative and beautiful writing style besides her pictures, she went around all over and visited with her favorite retired thoroughbreds at different farms. So when I was thinking about this idea, I called her up and asked her, can I call it Old Friends? I want to name it after your books. And, oh, she said, you know, oh, that's great. So that's what we did, and that's how we got the name. I mean, every idea I stole. Every idea I stole. So now, poor Barbara, now they think that her books are named after our farm. I feel bad for her. But yeah, I mean, that was the essence of it is what you said. The essence of it is people are coming from all over to see the horses. And one of the fun things to do when we're out doing the tours is to hear guys that bet on horses and that saw these horses run in their prime talk about her, or jockeys that rode them come back. And, you know, Mike Smith comes and sees Game On Dude, comes and sees little Mike. Ramon Dominguez's favorite horse is Fabulous Strike. He's back there. Ramon comes and sees him. Chris McCarron comes here all the time to see Touch Gold and some of the others.
Wow.
So it's a thrill for me because I get to, every day I get to see different people and I get to see people appreciate these horses like I do.
Well, and no one knows these horses more than you. And I was asking John a little bit about some of the horses, and he just told me to ask Michael. So can you give me like just one or two, like who's a great story, a memorable horse that maybe we don't know that you would like to highlight?
Yes. Well, we have, it's our youngest horse. Her name is Bold and Bossy. Now, most people didn't hear about Bold and Bossy because Bold and Bossy only won one race. But Bold and Bossy, about a few years back, was at Ellis Park. And it was her first race. She's a two-year-old. And she balked at the gate and didn't want to go in, dumped the jockey and took off down the track. And before the outrider could catch her, she jumped over the fence and ran down the highway. Then she got to the interstate. She took the on-ramp and she ran 10 miles to shopping mall.
Oh, my. I remember hearing about this, and she's here.
Well, it gets even more amazing. Jeremy Schapp did a really good little mini documentary about her on ESPN. They finally get her. They bring her back.
Miles.
Yeah, they brought her back from Ellis Park to Ellis Park. They put her in the receiving barn. Got nice straw for the evening. Nice warm barn. A little food here and there, and she rested. That night, the barn burns down, and she gets burned.
Oh my God!
And they weren't even sure she was going to survive, but she did. And Michael Ewing, the great trainer, she brought her back to the races after all this, and she actually won a race, and I think she finished second once. And then they realized that the saddle and apparatus was irritating some of her scars, and so they decided. I ran to Michael Ewing at the Thoroughbred Club, where I go for the simulcast bet horses, and she said, would you like to have Bold and Bossy at your farm? And I said, oh, my God. If you pick any horse on this farm, they're not quite as dramatic as Bold and Bossy, and she's cute. Uh-huh. She's really cute. She jumps around, and she'll come when you call her, and she'll eat Mrs. Bashner's cookies. And she knows she puts on quite a show when people come and visit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she's right off the top of the list. And I've got another horse who's 30 years old now that I claimed for $3,000 at Finger Lakes on Mother's Day in 1999, and he's still with me.
What's his name?
Summer Attraction.
Summer Attraction. Mm-hmm. Wow. Like, did you keep him this whole time, or you claimed him and he went on to run and then he retired?
We claimed him and we raced him, and then he had a bad knee. And so we retired him to a really nice children's riding place in central Massachusetts. So he's close enough so I could go and visit him. Mm-hmm. And so he was there for several years, and I said to the woman who ran it, really nice lady named Faith Perini. And when he's done riding, when he can't do this anymore, you know, just bring him and we'll take him back in Kentucky.
Wow.
And it's probably too much of a story, but he almost played Seabiscuit in the movie.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, he almost did, but his knee wasn't up to snuff, and he couldn't quite do it, but he looked just like Seabiscuit.
What a special horse. What a special story, and what a special connection that you have, and that is kind of the whole gist of the whole place, is taking care of our old friends.
Well, they have the stories. Yeah. The great thing about horse racing, really, one of the fundamental things about horse racing is that the stories, no matter how far you go back, are dramatic. Mm-hmm. And you know, from covering the movies and seeing how some of those stories were constructed and what interested people is a personal connection with whatever it is in the story. Mm-hmm. And there's at least one horse we have here that will make a personal connection with the people that come and visit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I came in and I saw Big Brown and I just got teary eyed.
I know. I do it too.
I'm like, where's his white spot? Okay, there it is. It is amazing.
He's so smart. One of the things that I learned about hanging around with the really good ones, like Big Brown and Silver Charm and Game On Dude and Little Mike and Lava Man, all different conformations, all different breedings, good pedigree, bad pedigree. They're all smart. Mm-hmm. They are really, really intelligent. So if anybody out there could develop an IQ test and go to the sale, they'll make a fortune.
That was my next question is, I heard you're quite the handicapper. And number one, I'm going to start texting you before I make my decisions, because I make poor decisions. But is that something with seeing all these different conformations and breedings and all the different things, what are some of the things that are like come together for you?
Well, when I'm handicapping, the reason I got involved with the horses is I thought it would improve my handicapping, really, because I like handicapping and drinking. It's fabulous. And that's how I got into it. I wasn't because I was in love with the horses. In fact, when I wanted to learn about the horses, we'd claimed another horse, and I went to work for a trainer in the morning, walking hots and learning from the bottom up. Well, I didn't get too far up, but I stayed pretty much at the bottom. But, you know, all that I thought was going to help my handicapping. Instead, I fell in love with the horses. And once you fall in love with anything, you're dead.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're going to do. You can't
Game
help
over.
Yourself. After that, nothing makes sense. It's just insanity. But that's what happens. And so, but the handicapping thing, this is a true story. So I could never pick winners. I used to lose by a little. But now I decided to play to my strength, which is picking losers, and the answer is the 10-cent superfecta. Uh-huh. And trying to find a long shot is going to finish third or fourth and make it worthwhile. So you don't have to worry about who wins. You just put all on top. All always wins.
Yeah, that's true.
And all you got to do is find a race full of speed. I don't care if it's $4,000 claimers, you know, at Penn National, or whether it's a big race. Try and find a race that's full of speed, thinking some of them are going to get tired, and some of the slow ones that close, we'll get up and, you know, maybe finish third or fourth at 30-1, and all of a sudden it's worth it.
Well, we have had a request for you to do a handicapping podcast, so we need you to get all your thoughts together and just start recording them.
Whenever you want. Whenever you want. But I do pick the crazy thing about picking losers, I picked a loser a couple of weeks ago in a stakes race. And I had him with a few horses in the exacta, a few in the triple and a few in the super, and he won at 40-1.
Oh my gosh.
So the worst thing that can happen when you're picking losers is to have your horse win.
It's terrible.
A little backwards, I know, and it's not that much fun. It's much better to be able to root for him coming down the stretch. It takes a lot of the fun out of it, but that's the only thing I can do because that's my strength, picking losers.
Well, so I got to share a story that happened to me, and I haven't talked about it yet. So I was at Keeneland yesterday, and we're betting the horses, and I'm down in the machine, and I'm putting my money in the machine, and somebody had left their two tickets for the race right there, for race four. And I'm like, yeah. So, and I'm looking around, I'm like, who left these? So I pick them up, because well, I'm not going to leave them there, and I get them, and they're two $100 bets on a win for two separate horses and two $50 bets on a win, one for one of the same horses. And I'm like, I mean, this is several hundred dollars in just bets. And they left the ticket and everybody had already gone to the track to watch the race. So I'm like holding these tickets. I'm like, one of these horses is the one that they bet twice was 16-1 and lost by a nose. Oh, I mean, I was like, I think I just found thousands of dollars, like thousands of dollars, photo finish, and it went to the other horse. It was like that kind of emotion that horse racing can bring and gambling brings. It's incredible.
I know. It's so exciting. Everything about it's exciting. And to wake up every morning and those Silver Charms in my yard, you know, he's in my backyard, and Channel Maker and Red Knight are in the front yard, and right over there is Lava Man and Little Mike and Game On Dude and everybody. I go, it's unbelievable. And then I'll have another. So, there's a good example. Now, we got the Derby coming up.
That's I did want to know your pick, but.
Well, we've had five Derby winners here. We're second to Calumet in number of Derby winners.
Wow.
So, unfortunately, you know, both Charismatic and War Emblem, who we brought home from Japan, they passed away, but we still have, I'll have another, and we have Big Brown, and of course, we have Silver Charm. So, I tell people when they come on a tour, I said, you know, you have to do what we do, which is all these people spend millions of dollars trying to get a Derby winner. I've never paid for one Derby winner. I got them all for free. I said, because one of the things I have in common with them, and I don't have much in common with them, except that I really like them. But one of the things is when you're old like me and you're pretty much useless, you can't generate money anymore. So you get kicked out of your job. They say to you, oh yeah, well, we're just going to do this and we're going to offer buyouts and stuff like that. And so when I was at the Globe, you knew they wanted to get rid of you because you're no longer the young guy who can come in and do a bang up job, but you're costing them a little bit more money and you're doing a little bit less work.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to get somebody new in, and that's the way it is in racing.
Right.
So at the end of the day, that's one of the things that I have in common with these horses. They can't generate income anymore. And when you can't generate income, especially in this culture, you're considered useless.
Right.
All right. So that's why we never had to pay for any of them.
Well, yeah, because you're providing them a home, and like John and I were talking, like you're giving people, they become ambassadors for horses, for connection, for the sport, for everything. And
they don't do anything wrong. When people come to work here, I tell them, look, I'm going to tell you something. We hired you because you can do all this stuff better than I could do it ever. You're better at bandaging the horses. You're better at noticing things that are wrong or slightly off. You're better at everything. I said, but I want to tell you one thing. These horses have been told what to do their entire lives. Go here, go there, get in the stall, get out of the stall, go work out, go back in, sit in the stall stand in the stall for 10 hours. You know, here, drink some water. Here, have some food. Here, go out and walk around a little, then come back. They're told what to do all the time. And when they come here, it's our job to figure out what they want and when they want it because they're the boss. And they have to be aware of the fact that they're now in charge of their own lives. And I'm telling you, it sounds silly,
no,
but it's exactly true.
It's
exactly
beautiful.
True. It's so true. That's why these stallions don't bite people. You know, people said, well, don't let anybody near Bellamy Road. You know, he'll kill people. He'll do... Now, we did have the double fence war of him because he's the exception to every rule. but mostly they just get, as soon as they figure that out, yeah. It's like with Silver Charm, it was like, what is he like? What doesn't he like? Well, the two things he didn't like was he didn't like the car lights at night. And he doesn't like to get petted on his head.
Okay.
So we don't pet him on his head, and we bring him in at night so he doesn't have, and now you can lead him around with dental floss.
Wow.
He'll just follow you anywhere. He's just fabulous because he knows that he's in charge and we're not going to do something he doesn't like.
And they've earned it. You know, that's the right of these guys at this point.
Nobody comes here to see me. they're coming here to see these amazing athletes, you know? And I knew that, too, because, you know, I knew the way people were about human athletes, as I mentioned, about the movie stars and things. It's the same thing. It's that same feeling you get, like, wow, you know, where was I when, you know, I know exactly. I never saw Silver Charm in person until he showed up here. And he's still my favorite horse from 1997.
Now, you told us something magic in the barn, that he's your
favorite living thing.
Favorite living thing.
Yes.
Are you married?
Yep.
Do you have kids?
Yep. I have a son who lives in Australia.
Do you have a grandkid?
Yeah. Nice, nice kid too. And I love them all dearly, but Silver Charm's my favorite.
His favorite living being.
Anybody can have a kid. Right?
Not everybody can have a Silver Charm.
Nobody but me has them. Nobody than me. I was teasing Bob Baffert one day. We were talking. It was Silver Charm's birthday, and they ran a picture. He goes, every time they used to run a picture of Silver Charm, it was with me and Silver Charm. Now it's just you and Silver Charm. I go, that's a great tribute. Thank you.
That's a good thing.
But you can come by any time, I said, and get your picture taken with him if you like, and if you're nice to him.
If he wants you to have your picture taken, we will allow. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, Michael Bloom. This is a dream come true for so many people who get to experience, and I know for you.
Yeah, thank you so much. We really appreciate all you guys do for horse racing and these horses. It's really a tribute to your program.
Oldfriendsequine.org.
Hey, everyone, are you ready for a chance to win some amazing horse gear? State Line Tack is giving away thousands of dollars in prizes every single month. That's right, you could win big just by participating in their monthly giveaway. Imagine getting your hands on top-quality tack, riding apparel, and all sorts of fantastic horse supplies. It's super easy to enter. Just head over to State Line Tack's website and check out their monthly giveaway page. Big banner on the homepage there. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to score serious equestrian goodies. Visit State Line Tack online today and enter for your chance to win. That's State Line Tack, where winning is just a click away. And don't forget, HRN has a coupon code. You get 30% off any order of $129 or over, which is very easy to do. Enter coupon code HRN at checkout. Some of the products are not eligible if they're already discounted or they have manufacturer restrictions. You'll know. Just search, put HRN coupon code at checkout, so you'll know which ones it'll pop in on which ones are eligible. And you'll see it right there in your shopping cart. All right, Jamie, let's hear about your time at the horse park.
I mean, the horse park is beautiful and magical and wonderful, but can I be straight up honest with you about this? I've got to tell you.
What?
I was kind of bored. I'm so tired of the same damn people winning every time. I swear to God, it was, if you look at the dressage scores for Michael, they're completely like one judge, the German judge, short, way higher than the others. It was just so, I'm just tired of it. Like, I'm just tired of the same 10 people being in the top 10 every single year. It's exhausting. Although it was awesome to see Boyd Martin have 3 finishers in the top 10. It was incredible. And we were just, I don't think in show jumping, you could have had more people hoping Michael Young would knock down all the fences. Everybody.
The thing is,
Michael
he would have
Young
had to knock down most of the fences.
He knocked down one, and we were like, please knock down 2 more. Just 1 more on time penalties. Come on. I mean, I never root against anybody in that horse show, but I mean, it's just, first of all, not fair. And second of all, Boyd Martin was in 2nd place. And I mean, the place would have been just erupted. And I was like, is it? I mean, it's terrible because I love all horses and I think that every rider that competes at that level is amazing and talented. And I wanted to kick Michael Young in the shin and tell him not to ride.
It's only his fifth time winning it.
I mean, seriously, can Boyd just finally win one? And Michael Young, it's like so predictable. It's so boring. But I mean, it was fun. It was great. He's super talented and he's a really nice guy, actually. And you don't really want to root against him. But Jesus, can we please have somebody else? I'm so, yeah. But I mean, it was the same cast of characters. And I just found myself, I'm being honest with you guys. Now, granted, I've been going to this horse trial since I was 9 years old. Okay. So like, I've seen a lot of them. And I just have been wanting this to, and it's just, yeah, I don't know, Glenn. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, maybe I saw too many racehorses and got too excited about that. But I will tell you that I was just a little bored with the competition, and I'm a jerk. I'm a total jerk. What first world problem here? Like, oh my God, this five star that I get to go watch was like super boring because I just wanted new people. But I don't think I was alone. Maybe I'm not alone. Maybe I'm all alone here, but I don't know. I just wanted Michael Young to knock down some fences. Damn it.
This is not the commentary that you will hear on any of the eventing podcasts this week.
Sorry, should we cut that out?
I think that, you know, I think everybody kind of feels a little bit that way because we were all rooting for Boyd, right? And Jennifer and I, I think we had the best spot because we had it on our great big TV. We watched the entire day of cross country. We watched everything from the four-star through the five-star. We watched everything because, you know, we had our drinks. We had whatever food we wanted. It was nice and cool. You know, we didn't have to walk. It was beautiful. But I get it. And you're a big Boyd fan, too. So, I mean, that hurt all the Boyd fans in the group. But he didn't do too bad. 3 out of the top 10 is pretty good.
Yeah, sure. It's great. Fantastic.
How did what did Anna think of cross country?
Oh, man. Well, first of all, when you said you had all the food and drinks you wanted, so did we. We might have had it. There's like Bloody Mary tents everywhere. So that was really cool. But no, I mean, it's amazing. She was infatuated. We kind of did the whole like watch a couple horses at every jump and just keep walking. We didn't start at the beginning. We didn't go to that area because I think we had a girl who with us who was pregnant and I just felt so bad for her because we walked like 9.5 miles on cross country day. Oh, but I was like, do you need anything? Can I carry your bag? Felt so bad for her, but she was a trooper and Anna just loved it and infatuated. Plus, you know, the added benefit of cross country day for Anna was seeing all the dogs. She just loved, oh my God, look, Jamie, look at that dog. Look at that dog. Look how, but you cannot point out every dog, Anna, because you will never stop talking because there are going to be a billion dogs on cross country.
I forgot about the dogs.
Oh yeah. It's a thing.
It seemed like the crowds were huge from what I saw on the video.
There was a lot of people there. It was a huge turnout. I never got the final numbers, but I think cross country day was something around 25,000 is, or maybe that was a Thursday, Friday total. I don't know because the numbers kept changing. It was packed and turned out to be a beautiful day on Saturday. It was cold. And I think every single person ended up having to go to the trade show and buy a sweatshirt or something. Sales were good in the winter clothes department because it just got kind of like, it was like 50 and windy and it was not that predicted to be that. So yeah, I'm currently wearing my United States eventing hoodie right now that I bought on Saturday.
And you saw my old boss there. You sent a picture, John Nunn. Was he there with Nunn Finer or was he just wandering around?
There was a booth. So this is so funny. He's doing just like standing outside showing this quick release knot thing that he's kind of, you know, he invents all that, comes up with all this stuff. And so he's got this quick release tie thing and he's doing a demo and he shows it pulling away. And my friend Brooke, oh, again, we had some Bloody Marys. She doesn't know who he is. And she sees him doing this breakaway tie thing. And she was like, or you could just use baling twine. I go, hey, Brooke, can I introduce you to John Nunn, the creator of Nunn Finer Products and Attack of the Day with Glenn? And she was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
What was John's reaction?
He was gracious, but as soon as he realized who I was and I kind of smoothed everything over, he was very nice and he told lots of stories and he talked to us for 20 minutes just standing outside and talked a lot about you and y'all's time together. And it was great. He remembers you very fondly.
Yeah, we talked actually not too long ago. He gave me a call. We talked for like an hour. We hadn't talked in a while. I mean, I worked with him for about 5 or 6 years. In those old days. But yeah, so it was funny when you sent that picture. I went, oh, I know where she was. She was at the trade fair. And then I saw Anna had bags, so I know she did some shopping too. So good for her.
Oh, we all did some shopping. But the good news is I got all the items on my list that I needed. And then I found lots of sales. It's crazy, the sales there. I mean, if you guys want to find if you want to shop for an item, go there. Just save up your shopping list and go to the trade fair. So I did something really, really unique, I think, for me. Once Barrett leaves, I'm going to scale down the training operation here. And I think what I want to do is a little more racehorse rehab. I've got my pulse certification. And then while I was there, I got some red light therapy tools. So I'm going to really focus on rehabbing probably mostly racehorses here at the farm. And I just, everything, it's like it was free, Glenn. Everything is free at Kentucky.
If okay?
And do you know how many people came up to me and said, look at the deal I got on this. It's like it's free. And I was like, yeah.
You know, if you wait till Sunday about noontime, too, right before show jumping gets underway, they start to mark everything down because we didn't want to bring it home when we were set up there. It's like, I don't want to pack this again. So we'd mark everything down.
Yeah, everything was free. It's just y'all just write it down on your calendars. Go to Kentucky next year. Everything is free. I mean, you may have to put but like 10% down. I swear to God, it was amazing. I mean, I got a $400 helmet for $100. I mean, come on. That's free.
Well, I'm glad you guys had such a good time. I really am. I talked to you, I think, once on Sunday, and you sounded like you were having fun. So I was so glad to hear that.
We had a great time. And then just to wrap up the weekend, we didn't fly out till Sunday night, or Monday night. So we ended up driving to Louisville because at Churchill Downs, y'all write this down too for your plans for next year. They open up the track at 7 o'clock at Churchill Downs. And from 7:30 to 7:45, they parade out and work all of the Derby horses, the contenders
really?
For the Derby and the Oaks. And so, yeah, all the Derby horses come out in yellow saddle towels, and they're not in any particular order. They're just kind of going along with their training, but they're supposed to be worked between 7:30 and 7:45 after they groom the track perfect. So we were like, we got there super early. So we're like first in line. We end up standing on the rail, watching the horses parade back and forth and watching some of them gallop. And we'll talk more about that on Friday, but yeah, all the Oaks horses have pink saddle towels and all the Derby horses had green saddle towels. So you could tell who everybody was. Oh, it was so cool. So cool.
Well, I'm glad you guys had such a good time, but now we have to get on with the rest of the show. And Friday, we will be talking about the Kentucky Derby. We always do. I got to try and rustle up a couple of listeners to join us to play trivia. It's kind of an annual Derby tradition that we do. And of course, this show is brought to you by Daily Dose Equine. Non-GMO whole food nutrition is the basis of the entire Daily Dose Equine program. All of our feeds are minimally processed to retain full integrity of the original ingredients. They start with high quality whole oats, whole barley, hay pellets, sunflower seeds, and beet pulp. The grains and soybeans are roasted for safety and then mixed with the remaining ingredients and bagged. They add no fillers, no wheat, no corn, no soybean meal, no hulls, no distillers, grains. They feed less yet improve body condition and energy with Daily Dose Equine. You can find it at DailyDoseEquine.com, at Chewy, and now also at Tractor Supply. That's Daily Dose.
You know where else you can find it?
Where else?
At the Kentucky Horse Park on the weekend in the trade fair. I met them. They're so sweet. And it was really, really, I got to spend some time with her.
Oh, good. Yeah, she's a treat. She's a lot of fun. Well, good. I'm glad you got to meet them as well. Well, I had a chance while Jamie was trying to figure out what destroyed her computer, and we think it's lightning. I had a chance to catch up with Dr. Michelle DeBoer. She's out of the north, and she's talking about the horse food pyramid. We might have talked a little bit about the human food pyramid too. Well, returning today for our horse health segment is Dr. Michelle DeBoer. And Michelle, you are from where up in the north?
I'm on the Minnesota-Wisconsin border.
Oh, yeah. You were in the maybe get tornadoes thing yesterday, too. You were right in that section.
Yep, definitely. A lot of storm predictions. Thankfully, they missed us. So horses all stayed safe.
Well, usually Jamie's here to do the horse health segments. You're stuck with me today because she's dealing with the storms and getting through right now. So she's still working on that. But I think I can handle this because I've fed enough hay in my time and feed and forage and all of that. Although I feed what I'm told to feed. You know, that's why I'm a horse husband. I don't have to make those decisions. But we're talking about...
That's a good job to have.
Yeah, right. It's easier that way. The horse food pyramid. For listeners who may be new to equine nutrition, can you kind of explain what it is and what it looks like?
Yeah, so basically I created what I consider to be the horse food pyramid, similar to what, you know, our human food pyramid would look like, where... You know, the food groups that you need to incorporate more in the diet are in larger groups in the bottom and make up the base of that pyramid. And then, you know, things we need less and less of kind of go towards the tippy top of that pyramid. So,
which unfortunately for the human one included candy and ice cream at the very tippy top. But, you know.
Oh, I know. Exactly. Yeah. I like to forget about that part. Yeah. But for our horse food pyramid, what we're seeing is the base of that pyramid, and a very huge part of that base is going to be our forage. And so that would be like our hay, our pasture, you know, maybe forage alternatives like a hay cube, a hay pellet, a complete feed. And so that'll be the foundation. And then as we get up towards the top of that pyramid, then we're seeing, you know, adding in those commercial feeds to fill in the gaps. And then kind of at the tippy top, like our sugars and sweets, we have our supplements. We're normally not feeding them in high quantities, and not every horse needs them to be healthy.
So we've been hearing a lot lately about forage-based, right? Forage-based feeding.
Yes.
Seems to be everywhere. And you mentioned that every horse diet should be forage-based. Can you elaborate on that and why it's so crucial to the digestive system?
Yeah. So yeah, we hear that kind of as a buzzword jumping around everywhere of like, oh, I feed
my horse
recently, a forage-based diet.
It seems recently it's been even more and more. Yeah.
Yes. And I'm like, well, congratulations, you're feeding your horse correctly. Everyone should be on a forage-based diet. And so the reason for that is the horse's GI tract, it's kind of conditioned to have these small meals continuously throughout the day. They're supposed to be, you know, grazing or eating regularly for the majority of the day. And it's one of the reasons is because we are going to see things like gastric acid produced consistently, right? There's nothing that triggers it. It's just always going to be produced in little amounts. And so if we give our horses long periods of fasting, it's really going to, you know, leave the stomach empty, make it more prone to issues like ulcers. You know, really their GI tract is just kind of meant to be processing and working through these things consistently throughout the day. And so forage is really the food group that meets that requirement. And it's what the horses have kind of evolved to be consuming and utilizing to get most of their energy, a lot of their different nutrients. And it's really just such a vital part of keeping that GI tract healthy.
Well, that's a good question, because people do think, I think because we've been ingrained with this, we think that we have to give supplements and we have to, you know, give something in addition to hay and grass because they need more in the way of nutrients. With a forage-only diet, do they get all the nutrients they need?
You never know without testing, and I would say it depends on the forage type you're using, but typically no, forage alone will not be enough to meet all the nutrient requirements. And so I'd say the big thing is if you're feeding a hay-only diet, we consider hay basically entirely depleted of vitamin A and E. There's probably going to be little amounts, but it's so variable and so minuscule that it's better just to hedge your bets and make sure they're getting the vitamin A and E they need in the feed. Sodium will be deficient in both forage and feed, which is why we give a salt block. And then there's different nutrients like copper and zinc tend to be deficient. Magnesium, selenium, some other minerals are going to be dependent on the soil and your geographical region. So I highly recommend hay testing, but we tend to see patterns where there are certain nutrients that will tend to be deficient in a forage, and that's where our feed comes in.
Yeah, and we've talked about hay testing over the years. The problem we have, and we did a little survey with our listeners on this, and about 60% of them, like us in Florida, we get enough hay for a week or two. You know, so we don't get large quantities of hay. One, it doesn't keep so well. But a mm-hmm. lot of people are in that situation too. So getting it tested is just not an option, you know, for us.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Up here in the Midwest, most people are buying hay for, you know, their entire year. And so it
I would have to mortgage
the
house
option,
in Florida to do that. Just
yes, yeah. But yeah, and especially by the time I'm sure you get your test results back, you're on to a new batch of hay. So it's irrelevant.
Yeah, and to fill a barn down here with hay, you would really have to mortgage your house. You need a second mortgage to do it. And that's spoken like a true horse husband.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, I'm looking at your chart and, you know, it is 90% forage. And then we get into about, I would say, 8% feed. So let's talk mm-hmm. about grains. You know, they get a bad rap sometimes, but what role do grains play in a diet?
Yeah, so I would say that when we're talking about our feed, and yeah, whether it's our pelleted or textured feed, but made by a commercial manufacturer with good reputations, right? I think they get a bad rap because horse nutrition trends tend to follow human nutrition trends. And I'd say human nutrition, we're getting a lot more, you know, people are talking about the processed feeds and the additives they have and how they're not as healthy for us as, you know, eating our fruits and our vegetables and things like that. And for horse feed is actually the opposite, right? It's just because it's processed, they're processed to be adding in the vitamins and minerals and everything in the right quantities the horse needs to stay healthy. So in human nutrition, where our processed feed gets a bad rap, horse nutrition, it's the opposite. And so people who are going for a forage only or things like that, they're not maybe realizing that you're paying a PhD equine nutritionist to formulate these feeds and balance them for you to try to optimize the health of a horse.
So do you think the word process is where that negativity came from? Just the word?
I do. Yeah. I do. I think people see it and they're like, well, my horse is eating grass. They're eating, you know, grass is either pasture or hay, and that's what's good for them. And that's natural. But
the wild horses, they live on that without extra anything. Now that's spoken like a true horse husband too.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And it's just, you know, we're asking our horses to compete at high levels. We're, you know, giving them more artificial housing situations, right? It's our job to then balance their diets to make sure we're accounting for some of the limitations and the expectations we put on them.
You know, I think another one I've seen too, and it makes me cringe a bit, is grain-free has become a thing. Almost like, yeah. You know, almost like we see in the grocery store with, you know, the products that are free of everything. And by the way, they have no taste, but that's the other thing they're free of. So, you know, owners that choose a grain-free diet, are they hurting their horses?
I think if you do it correctly, you can make it work. You still need to make sure, like sometimes I see people, you know, trying to go grain free where they're just giving alfalfa pellets or flaxseed or things like that. And those are not balanced to meet the vitamins and minerals for the horse. You need to make sure some part of that diet is fortified with the vitamins and minerals to meet those requirements. And then I always like to verify sometimes those brands that are, you know, attracting those grain-free, you know, the people who want to feed those diets, they're not always balanced. They don't give enough vitamin E. They don't give, you know, high enough levels of some of those nutrients. So making sure you're educated, the company's reputable. You know, if you want to feed alfalfa pellets, you go and you top dress with a vitamin and mineral supplement as well to make sure it ends up being balanced. Personally, for me, I know a lot of the equine PhDs who are formulating these feeds, and I'd rather buy the commercial feed and pay them to do all of that work into a product I trust versus me having to merge together a bunch of different ingredients and a vitamin and mineral mix and hope I'm doing the right thing. So,
well, our sponsor I feel that way about our sponsor today is Daily Dose Equine, and that's non-GMO and, you know, everything's natural. And I love their feeds are perfect for that. We feed their feeds because she spent a lot of time doing what you're talking about, is mm-hmm. making sure it has the right things. And it's labeled that way too, which helps. So, you know, Bee pulp's another one that we've had talked about over the years that there's been, you know, people either say it's good or it's bad. It's like the surveys. We do a thing called Survey Show in the show where we review all the surveys that came out that month, and they'll say coffee is great, coffee is bad, alcohol is good, alcohol is bad. Bee pulp's been one of those over the years.
Yes, I have heard some. Yeah, it tends to go in the waves of, yes, you know, yes, if it's the preferred, yes, or the you know, at the bottom of the totem pole.
Yes, that's true. Well, so if you're going to leave somebody with a thought, what would it be?
Oh, that's a great question. I have a lot of thoughts, but I guess I would say, you know, forage should be the key of the diet. So people who are, you know, really going in for forage based, you know, kind of into that mentality, like, I think it's good that we're getting recognition there and people are starting to prioritize forage, because really, if you don't get the forage right, if that huge, like 90% base of your diet isn't right, there's no feed that can fix that, right? So I, you know, as much as I give it flack for people kind of using those buzzwords, like, you know, I'm glad we're starting to shift into a more heavily forage-based diet, but just making sure that, you know, forage is likely not going to meet the needs of your horse. And, you know, you can give feeds as little as, you know, half a pound or 1 pound a day if you select the right product. So, you know, picking the right product for you, if you have questions, working with a nutritionist to help you get there. But yeah, don't oversimplify it, or don't overcomplicate it if you don't have to.
You know what's good about all of that, though, is that people are thinking about it. I'm hearing more and more people are worried about it that would have maybe never thought about it 30 years ago. So I think that's a good thing, too. And I think that we've seen that, too, with the horse health segments we do, is more and more people are concerned about health and all the ramifications of that and, you know, the myriad of ways horses try and kill themselves every day. So at least if we're feeding them right, we're not helping with that. They can do it well enough on their own. So Equine PhD is the name of the Facebook page. She did an excellent article on the horse food pyramid. I will link that in the show notes so everybody can find that. And everybody can like your page, right?
Yes, they can. The more the merrier. I like to just put fun educational posts, try to get some evidence-based information out to the rest of the equine world.
And the article is very well written. All your articles are very well written. So I would highly recommend going to that Facebook page. We'll put a link to it in our show notes, liking it and keeping an eye on all the articles that Dr. DeBoer writes. It's well worth your time. Thanks, Dr. Michelle. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Glenn. Have a great day.
Recharge your training program with Equestrian Plus. Equestrian Plus brings together the top riders, trainers, and professionals onto one video platform. Watch over 5,000 how-to training videos, clinic and event footage, exclusive training sessions, and more, featuring top experts including 5-time dressage Olympian Stephen Peters, International Grand Prix dressage competitor Anna Baffini, Olympic dressage team bronze medalist Laura Graves, and many more. Join Equestrian Plus now and use promo code HRN15 for 15% off your first month. Visit equestrianplus.com to subscribe.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
Well, I'm going to run through them all because, like I said, my computer was struck by lightning and I'm sitting here on my phone and I can't go through all the articles. So what I'm going to do is give you a taste of weird news headlines. And you know what? Honestly, I don't need to deep dive these because the headlines tell you enough. But I would like to thank all of these people for sending me weird news stories. It's 2 weeks worth. So we've got Delia, Laureen, Amy, Clark, Carrie, Aaron, Michelle, Claire, Ruth, Angie, Shelley, Glenn, even Glenn sent me one, Janelle, and Jolynn. And y'all all sent me great news stories. And those of you who sent me the inappropriate ones, I can't read them on the show, but I did enjoy them. Thank you very much. First one, we're going to go down to, as we like to do, you're going to see a theme here, Glenn. We're going to go to Florida. We're going to go to Melbourne, Florida. And the title is Postal Worker Arrested on DUI Charge After Drinking Vodka at a House Party on Delivery Route. She was later captured driving the wrong way down the road. Let's go to Australia. Oh, God. I'm glad there was no pictures with this one. And you could probably look this up, y'all, if you want to. But this is Australian woman spends $8,000 to look like a cat and now deeply regrets it. No.
I saw the picture. Do not look it up.
Okay, good to know. The next one, I think, Glenn, you actually sent me this one, along with multiple other people, is three men, one teen, facing multiple charges in Louisiana for riding their horses in Walmart.
Yes.
The next one from the New York Post. Oh, God, my pastor husband cheated on me. And here's why I helped him get ready for dates with his side chicks. You're all going to hell. Stranded man. Oh, this is a great one. Just to be a fly on the wall. Stranded man airlifted from Mount Fuji and then rescued again days later after he climbed back up to get his phone. I mean, Google that one and read it, because it's as entertaining as you think it would be. Okay, we're going to go back to Florida, because there was a Florida man that stole some items from a gas station. And then when they tried to arrest him, he led the officers on a police chase. And here's the headline. Florida man offers police booze during the car chase. So basically what happened is when they finally stopped him, he offered them the booze that he had stolen. And he was like, come on, y'all. That was fun, right? And do you know then they had to tase him to get him to the police car? Oh, here's another one. This one is in Palm Coast, Florida, where my brother lives. And I sent him a picture of this guy's mugshot. And I said, do you know this guy? Because... naked man arrested after trying to break into Flagler County home. He's 63 years old, by the way. Drugs are bad. And then I'm going to finish with two good ones. First of all, this is a really heartwarming story. And if you do want to Google this one, I highly recommend it, because the headline is, people in Iceland are collecting baby puffins in the street and throwing them off of a cliff back into the ocean. Now, that sounded like it was terrible, but it turns out throwing them off of the cliff, I learned a lot in reading this one. They collect the baby puffins because at night they can't see the ocean. So they head back to the lights of the town and they're all little babies. And people will walk around the streets from 9 p.m. till 3 a.m. collecting baby puffins in cardboard boxes. People actually travel there now to do this. You collect all the baby puffins and then you take them to a cliff in the morning and you throw them off the cliff, and that's how they fly, and they fly down in the water. It's so cool, and there's some great baby puffin pictures, so definitely check that out. And then finally, we're giving the Hero of the Day award to the dog in Arizona. There was a missing toddler who left about, and the town is about 100 miles south of the Grand Canyon called, I forget what it's called. And there was a missing toddler who walked 7 miles alone through the Arizona wilderness. Think about what's in the Arizona wilderness. Bobcats, mountain lions, poisonous snakes, Gila monsters, scorpions, black widows, all the things. Missing toddler walked 7 miles alone through Arizona wilderness, was led to safety by a dog. The dog found the baby and brought the baby back to the ranch house. The guy, the farmer looked out the window and he was like, what's he doing? And he knew immediately that his dog had found the toddler. So yay for him. Yay for the people rescuing baby puffins, and shame on everybody in Florida. Okay.
Now I have a weird news story for you too. And I read this yesterday and I had forgotten all about it. Do you remember years ago, it was 2017, they're just coming to trial now, which is why it's back in the news. 2017, Kim Kardashian in Paris was robbed. They tied her up and put her in the bathroom and stole like millions and millions of dollars worth of jewelry. So the robbing crew is now coming up. There's 10 of them. They are all in their 60s and 70s.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't realize that it was an oldster crew that did this. One of them has died and one has Alzheimer's. They can't put them on trial because it's been so long since it happened that some of them are dying. And they said a couple more of them might not make the end of the trial. So I was just a bizarre story. There's a movie there. Oh, my God. What a movie.
Oh, my gosh.
The geriatric crew hit. That is a movie. It's got to be a movie.
She needs to take some self-defense courses.
Well, that's it for today. We're sorry about the technical issues. We're lucky Jamie was here at all. If she had to do it on her phone because of the storms and everything. Have the storms left yet? You've just had 12 hours. You mustn't gotten any sleep last night.
I did not. And I'm still watching the lightning right now. So I'm glad I'm on my phone and not my computer. But yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. I didn't know this could happen.
Well, it is National Radio Day. So in honor of your previous occupation, we'll say happy National Radio Day, everybody. And we're glad that you listen to podcasts now. So we're very happy.
Yay!
And stay happy tuned, day. Auditors. John Nicholson, who is an old friend of our show. I mean, he's been coming on our show since it started. And he now runs Old Friends. And Jamie had sat down with him. And he's always a fun interview. And that's what we'll do in the post show. All right. We'll see everybody on Friday.
All right. Spend your geld.